The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, Season 17, Episode 1. Sounding like Paulie Walnuts.
Who?
From The Sopranos. Oh! That's what Paulie used to say when, and Tony used to say that when something went wrong.
I've never seen The Sopranos.
You've never seen The Sopranos?
No, haven't seen an episode.
The greatest HBO show of all time.
You're right.
Of all
Where
time.
Where can I catch up it on? Is it on Stan or Netflix? I know you just said it's an HBO arrangement, but one of those two carry.
Oh, I'd imagine they would, Kingy. No. It's extraordinary stuff. Extraordinary. But the welcome to season 2025 of the Cat Attack Podcast, mid-February. Been a pretty tough week and a half for the Geelong footy community and the Geelong community in general, and obviously referring to the tragic passing of Troy Selwood, and condolences from all us at the Cat Attack Podcast, K-Rock, and the extended family here to the Selwood family and the extended Selwood family. It's been a horror week and a half, Kingy, and you just sort of don't really know the depths of the problems people are experiencing. And, you know, we worked with Troy for quite a few years, and he was... Somebody asked me, somebody says, Troy, so what do you think? I say he's a logical thinker.
Yep.
Very logical thinker. That's what I sort of thought he was very strong at. And look, it's sad for everybody involved. And obviously the funeral is tomorrow at GMHBA Stadium. And it's going to be a difficult day for everybody.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got him back.
Yeah, last year for five or six games.
Yeah.
And
the fact that his last game with us was Brisbane winning a premiership, and there was a great bit of audio that I was able to listen back to about how he actually came to follow Fitzroy as a young fella, and how it was a bit of bribery from uncles and stuff like that. I think all four brothers...
Barrack for someone different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a great little story, which I've actually passed that audio on to the Brisbane Lions, who were going to whack it in there. Archive.
Oh, right. And oh, that's fantastic.
Be able to play to their new players and just give an idea of Troy. You look at, you know, his football career and you see 75 games and go, well, that's not a huge amount, but he was a very good footballer who's probably in the end a couple of concussions didn't help him. He was delisted in the end, but he just never got the run at it that the other three brothers did.
No, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, you don't play 75 games by accident. I know, the couch fam will sell 75 games. That's not many, but it's difficult to do at that level. And, there's a number of things that conspire to thwart AFL careers. You only need to be on the wrong end of an injury at the wrong time. Somebody jumps under your spot. You know, you struggle to find form. And that doesn't happen to some players. It happens to others. And Troy did play 75 games, and credit to him, because as I said, that doesn't happen by accident.
No, and of course, we got to know him when he did come to Geelong, and we got to call the VFL flag in 2012.
We did.
You and I, and I actually went back and watched a bit of it last week just to see him play and to hear him speak, but one of the first shots post-game was actually you talking to him
right
on the ground.
I do remember that, actually. I think I got a few that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Look, he was just easy to get along with, Troy. He didn't have any sort of airs and graces about him. I liked the way he saw the game, and even he just had a way of thinking that was sort of slightly outside the square a little bit. I remember last year, and the Cat Attack Podcast fans will know that. You know, my view was that. Was that Zach Tui had gone on too long and played one year too many, and I had no issue with Zach Tui. He's a fantastic story, great for Geelong. I just thought he'd gone on one year too many, which happens around the league every season.
Yeah.
But Troy, his take on that was maybe it helped them keep O'Shea Mullen.
Yeah.
He maybe played a role in – Zach had a role in retaining him at the club. He's a younger player, obviously. Upside is enormous.
Yeah.
His take on that was – He sort of agreed that perhaps Zach Tui had gone on too long, but there may have been ulterior motives from the footy club as to why he had gone on.
Yeah.
And just sort of little things like that where it made you think, yeah, okay, maybe there is something to that.
We lost Troy, but we also lost another former K-Rocker and a Geelong great in Michael Turner as well.
It's
the first time we've done this, been in this forum since Mick passed. I went down to Mick's farewell. It was standing room only in the convention centre at the Mantra,
yeah.
Down at Lawn. It was unbelievable. It was a who's who. And it was one of the most uplifting, as much as it was sad, it was such a wonderful service. And it was planned to the nth degree by Mick himself in conjunction with Brian Taylor, who he was great mates with. They held court in Lawn along with Ricky Barham for many years and right up till Mick's passing. And the way his wife Karen spoke, the way his elder son Levi spoke, was just incredible. Benny, you would have loved it. The music was so good. They opened and it was haunting, the theme from The Local Hero, Mark Knopfler. That as soon as that kicked in, that grabbed me. That was the start. That was the moment that told us that we were starting. But Man of Colours by Ice House played over some footage of him. The women in his life, so his wife, but also his daughters-in-law and his granddaughters. Pretty Maids All in a Row was the song over the top of it. And then the last thing we watched was actually David Bowie doing Life on Mars.
Right.
It's Bowie performing it live, because he loved David Bowie. If Mick couldn't have been anything other than a footballer,
he would have been a
rock star. He wanted to be a drummer. He wanted to be a drummer in a band, and probably David Bowie's drummer. And he loved to surf as well. So, we farewelled Mick.
And we had Mick on last year.
We did, yeah. Easter Monday.
Early in the season, and he looked quite good.
Yeah.
It was
from October onwards.
He really,
And then we also lost Bill McMaster as well. Who Bill would have had a, obviously not now era, but he would have had a connection to 3GL when he was coach of the Cats, played with the Cats, and then obviously his time in recruiting as well. He would have dealt with.
Well, he was recruiting when I was going through school.
Yeah,
yeah.
I overlooked you.
Yeah, I think he did. I was doing other things, Tom.
Extracurricular activities. So,
I was playing in scratch matches before they were a thing.
So to the Selwoods, to the Turners, and to the McMasters. I went to Bronco Bill, as he was affectionately known, to his service as well, and it was lovely. And one of the, actually tell you the highlights of both. Bob Gartland spoke at both, giving a really detailed history of...
Well, he's a sort of club historian, isn't he? Yeah. He loves all that sort of historical...
But he gave Bill's not just Geelong, but Lake Bolac, where he started.
Yeah.
And then when he coached in the Hampton League. And it was really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
That was good. So good send-offs, and obviously tomorrow will be a difficult one, Kingy, in the circumstances surrounding Troy's passing, but hopefully I'm sure it'll be a fitting farewell for somebody who has, been, even though he played for the Cats, not the AFL team, obviously, but, was a big part of the Geelong community and even out at Grammar for the last year or two.
Yeah, so we look forward to farewelling him tomorrow. I was down at the Cats today, Benny.
I did see that little thing, Kingy?
Yeah.
I didn't get quite time to read it because someone rang me when I was reading it, so... Yeah. Can you... Actually, I did see it. I did read a bit of it, and I did chuckle.
Why?
Because...
What did I write?
I chuckled. No, I chuckled. Nothing you wrote. Well, it was in the words, but it wasn't you. But,
are we talking about Toby Conway?
Loch Ness
has
had a bed injury.
He's had a coughing fit.
And hurt himself.
He slipped. He's done
I was trying to list the bed injuries that you could have, Kingy. What would be the top of the list?
Coughing fit.
No. There'd be a few, wouldn't there?
Yeah,
well, dehydration. Cramping. Sort of.
No, I'm leaving it there.
Breathlessness.
You're right. You got three.
He hurt his back because he had a cough. What? No. This has got to be an absolute wind-up.
It's not.
Loch Ness, with all his injury troubles, has coughed in his fader and now he's injured.
A coughing fit.
That is extraordinary.
So he's sidelined at the moment.
So how severe is this?
Well, I don't know how severe, but it's severe enough that he's not playing around.
But he hasn't done a lot of the preseason prior to this.
Because he had foot surgery.
This fader injury.
He had foot surgery.
He's shaping as an absolute disaster. Is what he's shaping as.
I hope you're wrong. But
well, so do I, Kenny. I'm not praying for him to be a disaster, but this is going from bad to worse. If you were getting injured in your own charger, when you look at yourself and you've got 5%, you think, I'll go get him a fart sack, get myself up to 100, and then get out of bed and be up and about, and you go there and then you have a cough, and then you're injured, and then you got to go to the footy club and say, look, I've hurt my back. Oh, how? I was in bed. Do you know what the first thing someone would have said?
Yeah. I've got many, many, many options, Benny, and none of them are going to be.
No, none of them would have been on the in your piece in the that went onto the Triple X.
Yeah.
So what else? So Loch Ness is out. We don't know for how long with a back.
No, he won't.
Manor had some. What's his injury?
He's had a foot issue.
Surgery or just an issue?
Just an issue.
And is this of recent times or is this has he missed quite a bit of the preseason?
Before Christmas,
so he's missed a lot of training.
Yeah.
Right, so he's going to start from way behind the eight ball,
correct,
which is not an ideal scenario for a second year player, albeit a mature age player. And what was the other?
There Cam Guthrie.
Yeah, he's
Cam Guthrie's only facing hope now extinction. Is he can find 10 games to play 250.
And that's odds against.
It's correct. Yep, I wouldn't be going to.
And look, let's not. We're not writing him off because he's been a two-time best and fairest.
Correct.
Yep. So let's hope that he can get back, but you'd have to think that he's going to face a serious uphill journey to get back to senior footy and play any meaningful sort of football. And in fairness, Kingy, you know, I'd be hoping from a Geelong perspective that others can step up and make it even more difficult for Cam Guthrie to get back.
Yep.
Can Closey come in and play a midfield sort of role? Can Jai Clark take another step?
Nevitt.
You get Bailey Smith, you've got Mitch Nevitt. I'd be hoping that it becomes almost impossible for Cam Guthrie to get back in, rather than us saying, when the hell is Cam Guthrie getting back? Because Cam Guthrie coming back is going to be an absolute shadow of himself.
Mm. Yep.
It's
sad that he's...
It goes to show, Kingy, how... sort of how volatile your career can be. You hear players make sure, say, you enjoy every moment. And I think Cam Guthrie would be thinking, you know, never a truer word is spoken.
Jack Martin's the other one.
What's he injured again?
No, he's not injured. They are, in Stephen King's words, we're making sure he's right for the next 2 years, not in, you know, for a month of footy.
You've got to wheel him out, though, at some point.
He may play Monday in the match. Oh, right.
So he's fit?
Done
a good preseason.
Hasn't done the whole lot to the full extent.
Was he part of the match sim last week?
Not the one that I watched the vision of on Friday or Thursday.
Was that the 6 minute thing?
Yeah. He wasn't in that.
Bailey Smith seemed to feature a fair bit in that. Some good editing, I think.
Yeah, correct. But Jack Martin was in the Monday match sim, according to Stephen King. So I asked about that today at the media conference and said, I see Jack Martin wasn't part of the match sim. He said, yeah, but he played in the Monday one.
Yes.
So Jake Collard-Jasny wasn't in the one
last... He was in the vision I saw.
Last week?
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
No, he wasn't. No.
He was?
No. You sure?
I'm positive he fired a hand pass out.
Did he?
Well,
or am I thinking of... I might be thinking of Busy.
I'm sure he was in it. I wouldn't want to be in a court of law, Kingy. But I'm pretty sure I saw Jake Collard-Jasny.
I went through it and wrote down all the numbers, and I got 34 players of the 44 played.
Right. Yeah. And Dangerfield
played. No, Collard-Jasny did play.
Sorry, yeah, I'm sure I saw him.
Yeah.
Because he's my favourite. So I'll keep an eye out for him. And Dangerfield played?
Dangerfield played.
Yeah. But I did notice if you did watch I'm led to believe that if you did watch that 6 minutes that the Cats media team put on YouTube or wherever they put it, Bailey Smith featured about 800 times.
But a lot of give and goes.
He did, yeah. Look, and he looked really good. He looked fit, which is fantastic. But I'm led to believe that it was reasonably well edited. He didn't play a whole lot, and was it the Bunnies against the...
No, because the matchup in the centre square could have gone either way. Like there was a 4-on-4. I watched a couple of centre bounces. Obviously, De Koning racked against Mitch Edwards. Edwards is shaping as...
Mitch Edwards the one that looks like John Mossop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's shaping as a...
It's
really
a big unit. Big unit.
Shaping as a likely prospect. Took a really nice contested mark.
Mm.
From a Mitch Duncan ball out towards the...
Yeah, I did see that. Stand. Yeah, he didn't look small against De Koning, who I thought actually looked bigger.
Yep.
He looks like he's put on some size, De Koning.
I think he's playing in the ruck.
Well, I was thinking about this, Kingy, so...
You've poo-pooed it, but are you coming around?
Well, I've got no choice.
Yeah. I think Blitzarves is going back.
Well, this is what I was talking about, things that we sort of would like to slash hoping to see slash waiting to see for Monday. So a few for me, Kingy. One would be De Koning, because clearly he's going to play in the ruck. So a couple of things with that. Does that mean then, does Blitzars become a permanent defender pushed out of the midfield? Is that going to be the case? What role would Mitch Nevitt play? Where are they going to play him? Are they going to play him on a wing, or are they going to play him on the ball?
I think on a wing.
Well, okay, so let's hope he goes well. What's the development like for Jai Clark, third year?
Well, it's make or break this year.
I don't know about that, but he...
Well, if he's not playing a lot...
His third year, he's played 12 games last year. I'll be interested to see how he goes. I'll be interested to see how Connor O'Sullivan looks.
Connor O'Sullivan looks good.
Because he is key, Kingy. He's key to the Cats, not this year. But he's key to the Cats going forward, because they've invested. They need him to become a very, very, very good key defender. So, what's his progression like from year one to year two? I'm not expecting him to come in and play a lot of senior footy, but does he look like he's put on size? Does he look more comfortable? Is he looking like the player the Cats need him to be? Because they're going to need him to be their Darcy Moore, to be their Harris Andrews, to be that sort of player going forward, because they've got donuts. Unless, this is the other thing, De Koning, if De Koning, they play him in the ruck this year, fine, I'm happy with that. If he was to come out and finish top five in the best and fairest in the ruck, what do you do with Conway?
Good question. Yeah, hadn't thought of that.
If De Koning becomes a very, very good AFL ruckman, now my thing would be that De Koning hopefully gets a bit of mongrel about him playing in the ruck, toughens up a little bit, and then Conway comes in and becomes the ruckman, and De Koning goes back to play alongside Connor O'Sullivan. I'm not talking about just this year. I'm talking about for years to come.
Worst case scenario, he might have turned De Koning into a very handy ruckman.
Yes, but if he's Geelong's number one ruckman for the next 7 years, what happens to Conway? He's surplus. You don't need him.
You're pinch hitting
with a bunny. You're not having a bloke you've drafted. So it'll be interesting to see, because I'm sure Toby Conway is watching Sam De Koning closer than anybody else, because while he's getting injured in his fart sack, there's another bloke who's taking his spot, and he can't get on the park. This is his third year. We're talking about make or break for Jai Clark. Everything I hear about Toby Conway is, oh, I've got to give him time, I've got to give him time, I'm going to take him along slowly, he needs time. Yeah, well, okay, that's fine, but you're giving him time and he's continually injured when you're giving him time, so... some point, you know, it's like a horse. You either stand up or you shut up. So it'll be interesting how that goes, Kingy. The other thing, Kingy, is obviously, well, we mentioned Jack Martin there. If he plays, it'd be interesting to see what sort of role they have for him, because he can really only play half forward. So they've got plenty of those types of players, although Manor is obviously out, so he's one of those that's not there. And just the some of the other... you know, what steps have Tanner Bruin taken? Ollie Henry, you know, Shannon Neal, those sorts of players. Is Busey in the mix? Where's Busey fit in? Because he didn't fit in all year until the end of the year last year, and I thought he did okay when he played.
I think he gets squeezed.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a tough gig for spots. Mark O'Connor. Where's Mark O'Connor?
Yeah, not in the... So I did a best 23 about 3 weeks ago. Tell me what you think of this. Zach Guthrie, Henry, Colajasny.
Who was it?
Zach Guthrie, Henry, Colajasny.
Yeah.
Stuart De Koning, Humphreys.
Where's Blitzarfs?
Please hold caller.
Yeah.
Dempsey.
Stuart De Koning.
Yeah.
So you're not again got him in the ruck?
No, I haven't. Right. No, but I did do this 3 weeks ago. So I'm going to make a couple of changes. Stuart De Koning, Humphreys.
Yeah.
Dempsey, Holmes, Blitzarfs.
Yeah, well, Blitzarv's not on the wing, but
So this is where the changes will come. Half forward, Myers, Neil Manor.
Yep.
Henry Cameron Stengel.
Yep.
Right, so I had Stanley Dangerfield Smith.
Yep.
And then Bruin, Atkins, Cam Guthrie, and Martin. I'd close as a sub, but I'm going to flip Martin and close. I'm going to put Nevitt onto the... I'm going to take Stanley out, put De Koning into the ruck, put Blitzarv to centre half back, and Nevitt onto a wing.
Yeah. So who are the notables there that are not in the team? Busey,
O'Connor.
There's a couple others there.
Stanley.
Yeah, well, he's surely, yeah. Let's hope they're not having to go to him too often.
now.
He'd be held together with sticky tape by these days, wouldn't he?
I probably should have picked some emergency, shouldn't I? But the thing is, like, you can we all sit here and go best 23s.
You never have them to choose from.
No, correct.
But it's just more the fact that it's more of an exercise in that if you this time of year,
Jack Bowes is probably one of those.
Yeah, Jack Bowes would be another one. I'm sort of I'm not convinced about Jack Bowes.
Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, you haven't got him in there. Well, that's no surprise.
That would be about.
And Busey was the other one.
And Busey was the other one. That's about it.
Doing the best 22s, King, or 23s, or whatever it is, it just gives you an idea of how your depth sort of looks.
Yep.
What's there in the background. So Geelong are going to have potentially, three or four players not playing there who have played close to 800 to 1,000 games.
Mm. Yep.
Busey must have played nearly,
he's played 160, 200.
Yeah, you're talking Reece Stanley's played a zillion.
Yep.
Mark O'Connor's played a few.
Yeah, I think Mark O'Connor's around the 120.
So you've got a little bit of experience there. It's more how much can these younger players, we've got a group there that have been around 3, 4, 5 years. What level can they get to? What impact can they have on the season? Can they drive? And even a player like Ollie Dempsey, Kingy, last year, we were just sort of thinking, waiting for him to fall in a hole. And by about round seven, we're thinking, geez, he's actually going pretty well, this kid. He'll have expectation this year. He'll have expectation on himself. He'll have expectation from the club. He'll have expectation from the fans. How does he deal with that?
And he'll get more attention.
He'll get more attention. So how does that all come together this year? You may find that this year he takes what we would consider to be a step back. Mm. Because of all those factors, none of which he had this year. Or last year, I should say.
Yep.
It was like
just go and play.
Just go and he gets the driver out and just smacks it 295 down the middle. Mm. And then he's in the tournament. And it's like, hang on, I don't want to go over the right, so I'll go over to the right.
Yeah.
Further right than Andrew Bolt. So it's just, there's a few factors at play. I mean, I know Tanner Bruin's a hard worker. Can he become that? I mean, he got injured a lot last year, seemingly.
Well, when does Tanner Bruin turn into the, what was he, pick 12?
Well, I don't think Tanner Bruin is ever going to be that player that, he's never going to be a superstar midfielder.
Yep.
He's going to be a very good midfielder. Can he become that 22 to 28 possession midfielder who is solid? He just struggled last year, seemingly got battered from pillar to post. He plays a game that probably lends itself to that a little bit. Mm. He struggled with that. His best is very good. Can he become a more consistent player? And I don't mean that by, in terms of assessing his talent. I mean more in assessing, can his body allow him to be more consistent? Because I think he's got more to come. Ollie Henry's the other one. And they've got a few in that boat who need to probably just, who can hopefully keep players out like Duncan, like O'Connor, like Buse, like Stanley. They're not required. You've got these other blokes who are doing the business.
It's going to be a fairly handy VFL side running around.
Well, do you reckon those guys will all play VFL? Oh, Duncan and Stanley.
But you're going to have to.
At some point. Can you imagine Mitch Duncan playing in the twos?
Well, going to have to.
I don't reckon he will. I reckon that if it's reached that point where he's playing the twos, I think he says, look.
Does he get first crack at the start of the year?
Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon he does. Right. And his pressure will be on him.
Yep.
Big time, probably more than any other time in his career. Jeez. If he has two stinkers in the first two games. Yep.
He's going to thoroughly enjoy going to Brisbane on a steamy March night and trying to chase.
Steamy.
Trying to chase, Kai Lohman and guys like that around.
Yeah, well, but the thing is you're already suggesting that he doesn't have the tools anymore to play. Where does he play? He doesn't have the leg speed in the midfield. He doesn't have the ability to defend really well one-on-one. He's never been good at that. I mean, if you're keeping him just to kick the ball in, he wants that Guthrie doing that.
Well, yeah, and Lawson Humphries is not a bad
player. Yeah, that's right. Either. Did you have Lawson Humphries in that team?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, he's another one it's got.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how he goes this year too. Is he? He didn't look like he put on any enormous size across in the, the bit I saw.
I reckon he's probably was more about stripping down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. He still looks a bit like a bag of bones.
Yeah.
Bit sort of, bit of what you would classify, what Bluey McGrath used to, his rig looked a bit sloppy.
But he'll get an opportunity. He's in the Indigenous All-Stars game this weekend with Tyson Stengel, which is good.
Just hope that no one gets injured. God help us if that happens.
There'll be 17 clubs. Actually, I think there's a couple of clubs.
What about, Kingy, the other one we should talk about, because, and you're obviously following this far closer than me, what are the draftees, how are they settling in? What are they showing? Are they training, injured, going okay, going crap?
No, they're all going okay. Lenny Hoffman is the one, so Lennox Hoffman, but he likes Lenny. He is a defender.
We had a dog called Lenny, yeah.
He's the one that's probably stood out.
Sort of player is old Leonard?
He'll be a halfback.
Right.
The bloke that I'm really hoping turns into a gun, and I reckon he might be an upgrade, and this is a big call, I think he's an upgrade on Ollie Henry eventually, is Jay Polkinghorne.
An upgrade on Ollie Henry? Yeah.
This kid is going to seriously go. I'm happy to stake my very limited reputation on that this kid.
That is an enormous call.
Yeah.
Ollie Henry will be an exceptional half forward for a long period of time. Yeah. So you reckon this kid will be better than Ollie Henry?
I think he will be.
God, that's a big call.
Yeah, he's got all the tools, and I know for a fact that if he hadn't gone to Geelong, he was going to Collingwood at the next pick.
Right.
Yeah, Collingwood were into him.
So how's he going? Yeah. How did he go in match sim?
Yeah, he looked nice.
Did he?
Yeah. He's a very, very smooth mover.
Right. Okay. Well, that's one to look forward to on Monday. What number is old?
Two.
Is he related to David?
No. He's number two. Whether he gets a gig on Monday.
Lee Colbert.
So Monday will be...
Who else wore the two?
At the Cats.
Zach Tuohy. Yeah. No, who else?
The Prez.
The Prez, Bruce Lindner. Remember he played that game in the 89 grand final? He did not pick anybody up for the entire game. And I think he had 24 kicks.
But when the score's 144 to 138, do you think much defence was being played?
Bruce wasn't defending. He kicked 9 one day. I saw him kick 9 one day down here at Canadia Park. He could play Prez. Yeah. He played equally as hard when the sun went down, Kingy.
It was a self-anointed nickname too, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was
great. The Prez.
The Prez. Went to the Crows.
He did.
Went to the Crows in 91. I'm a massive Polkinghorne.
Right,
fan.
Well there you go. Well,
so guess what? I've just jinxed him and he's probably gone in 2 years.
He'll be delisted by about June.
You're talking about Polkinghorne on Monday. The chances of seeing him, I suspect, a minimal.
Given they're going to play a reasonable team.
Well, I think they're going to, so they're originally expecting to play 5 or 6 periods on Monday, and that's now been pulled back to 4. And I suspect what they're going to run with is something that looks like what's going to play against Essendon the week after when they're allowed, I think they're allowed 26.
And we're going to be covering that game, aren't we?
Here we are.
And we're going to be on Monday.
On Carrick Football Live.
Not.
But we can't go Stanley Windsor Tap Row by Dangerfield Handball.
So what are we actually allowed to do? Just chat about the game.
Yeah, but
so we can say somebody's kicked a goal.
Yes, we can talk about who's playing well, but we're going to have interviews.
We can't just call it play by play.
No, we can't. No, due to an AFL exclusive.
Can we give scores?
Yep.
Are we allowed to use... Right, so... No, we won't do that, Kingy, because we'll get in trouble. But, okay, so we're allowed to just talk about what's happening and say we're just not allowed to actually give a blow-by-blow description.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
So Steve Hocking's going to join
us. So we might be able to get some good interaction on the X, Kingy, during that.
Yep, and Big Footy as well.
Yep.
Andrew Mackey will join us.
Yep.
Hopefully Mark Corrigan, the VFL coach, just have a chat about some of those prospects. Because I know our listeners love to know what's happening in the VFL.
Daz absolutely loves it.
And some players, whether injured or not, and... We've put a request in for the coach to have a chat to us.
What do you think?
It's sitting on.
He hasn't been on since. He's been on once since 2016.
Yep. Well, we keep asking the question.
Anyway, well, good work. You just got to keep chipping away, Kingy. Yep. Keep chipping away.
There's a fine line between empty vessels make the most noise and the squeaky wheel gets the most grease.
Do you know, Kingy, before we keep going, do you know who I met last Friday?
Who did you meet last Friday?
Have a guess.
There's 6 billion people in the world.
He sponsors this podcast.
You met Jared Kerr.
Jared Kerr. In person.
Right.
He came up and he goes, "I'm Jared." And then he laughed. And I didn't know. And he had... So Jared Kerr and... Is it his father, Gary?
Gary, yep.
Yep. So Jared and Gary.
So Gary started the old Kerr's Northside Hire back in the 1980s.
Right. So they won the... E&S Golf Classic last week.
Oh.
So they had a ring in, and if Jared will be listening to this, they had, so Jared.
Did you play or MC?
No, I didn't play, just MC. So MC. Gary.
There's been some good MCs out there.
Jared. Yes, you have.
Ian Cover.
Yeah, oh, he wasn't there actually.
Covey's going to join us at times during the year.
I heard that. Yeah. They're doing a little bit of sort of historical stuff. Reminiscing. So Garrett.
Garrett.
I've just got Gary and Jared together. It's Garrett.
Garrett so and Jerry.
Gary and Jared and some other bloke they had. They were off a zillion. Their handicap was 800. And then they got this guy to play John Owen, who I know.
Yeah, plays off.
Two.
Right.
And they won.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
That's the, I can't think of the name of the cup. It's named after somebody.
Yeah, the someone Sinclair, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so Rob Sinclair, ENS Trading.
Yes.
His mother.
Yes.
Kay. Is it Kay?
Kay Sinclair. I think you're right, yeah, King. Yeah, you've got a good memory.
So there's been some good winners of that.
Was. I was chatting to Mike Hurst, too, for the Bendigo Bank.
You're right.
Yes, yeah, so it was a good day. So.
My name's on the... that.
On are you on that perpetual?
Yeah.
Well, it was a very good day, and they raised some great money for a Give Where You Live. So it was well supported, well run, and they got good weather, and Kerr Lewis looked a treat. But anyway, I did. The highlight was meeting Jared.
I played the EJ Witten Golf Day on last Friday
as
well. Played with the former 20.
Stevie J, how'd that go?
He can hit a ball.
Did he tell you any stories?
Yeah.
What did he tell you? None that are fit.
Yeah, we'll probably keep them for the Sportsman's Day. Actually, told a couple of good stories out on the course, actually. Good to catch up with him. He hits a mean golf ball playing off two.
Yeah. He's off two, is he?
He's off two, yeah.
He's got too much time in his hands.
No, he has barely played, he said, in the last 10 years, but two's what he's off because that's...
And did he could he play to two?
He didn't go far. Once he got going... hardest hole on Port Arlington Golf Course, although we're playing off the blue tee, so slightly forward. He smoked a drive about 280, won the longest drive, and then he's hit the pin with the approach, pitching wedge in from about 110, and then tapped in for birdie.
Yeah, that's nice.
solo birdie in Ambrose.
Makes the game a bit easier, doesn't it?
So, no, good to catch up with him. $40,000 raised for rural prostate cancer, of course, which is... where the EJ Witten Foundation morphed into. So good to be part of that day. All right, here's some questions, Benny. We better start with the man who makes it all happen on Big Footy. You know who that is?
Sorry, I was just reading something.
Daz Bronco.
Daz.
First of all, welcome back.
Daz love. He'll be up and about, Daz, with footy.
Yeah, well, thinking of Daz.
Footy around the corner.
No, I was in touch with Daz, so we've had the LA Fires. He's based in Burbank. So some hairy moments there for Daz and family. During those LA bushfires, I don't think evacuated in the end.
Right.
Yeah, thinking of you, Daz, tough over there at the moment. Thanks a plenty from all at Cats Big Footy for going around again. How long have we been doing this, 10 years, something like that?
Yeah, it'd be close, yep. 8 to 10.
Yeah, has Benny recovered from going all Burrowy? Think Swifty, but for Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was in Melbourne, wasn't he?
Was.
Did you find him?
No, I didn't, but I got it. We've got a bit of a twinge, King.
You're right. Yeah. Can't wait for Benny to call the Hoff when Lennox gets his first touch. Surely his nickname is David. This must be all NFL related.
David Hoffman.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. Or Hoff, Lennox Hoffman, Hasselhoff. I'm guessing maybe that's what it is. All right, three questions. As president and CEO of the Shannon Neal Appreciation Society, you need to know how he's been going. Looks like the proverbial brick outhouse right now. Do we think hybrid ruck full forward role, or will he be solely the forward option, ruck inside 50 like Tom Hawke did? I think he plays as Geelong's deepest forward and you let Cameron roam.
Yeah, I think he'll be... a permanent forward, simply because they don't have anybody else. And if you remember back, Kingy, I don't know, it was only one game, so you don't want to read, you know, everything into one game, but I think it was against the Bulldogs when they only went with one forward, which was Cameron, and they got absolutely pizzled. I know the midfield that night got pizzled. It wasn't so much the forward line, but I just don't... I think they need... they need Shannon Neal to be a key forward in the fashion of Tom Hawkins. And I don't mean to replace Tom Hawkins, but, you know, Tom Hawkins didn't go up into the ruck. He needed to have somebody there as a target to kick to, because Cameron isn't a key forward in this fashion of kicking it to him as a marking target. He needs to move around. He's a giant half-forward flanker, a bit like Buddy Franklin was. Cameron's a better contested mark than Lance Franklin. He can take you a contested mark, but he's not the bloke you want to kick it long to the square, and that's going to be Shannon Neal. And you want Cameron to be able to... So you need to have both. And if you've got Shannon Neal playing in the ruck, you've just left with Jeremy Cameron as really the only tall options. I don't know that works. I think they'll have De Koning, Stanley, yep. Blitzars potentially roaming around in the ruck. I don't know that Shannon Neal. Look, it may be the opportunity to give him 3 or 4 minutes, but I don't think it's going to become a regular part of the repertoire.
Well, come down to your opposition as well.
Possibly.
If they've got it, you're coming up against a smaller size defence.
You want him up there at 203. Yeah. And in the
but that you can get away with running him for 4 minutes up the ground as well.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure he'll get a little go in the ruck at some point, but I don't think it's going to be something that they go to every week. I think particularly against the better teams, you want to have that two-pronged forward attack, and he's going to need to be a pivotal part of that.
Can Ted Closey force his way into the Tom Atkins type role as not being the most skilled but hardest working player?
Well,
in 33?
That's that. I think he'd be eyeing Tom Atkins' spot.
I like some of the stuff Closey did in that match sim vision.
Yeah, he looked,
he actually got some toe.
Yeah, he's tough, tackles hard. I think he'd be eyeing Tom Atkins' spot because Tom probably was okay last year. Just okay would be my summation of his season. He wasn't horrendous, but probably a little. And look, Tommy Atkins would know that somebody like Ted Cloese is fighting for his spot, and he'd welcome that. Mm. I mean, that's how footy works. So he's just the thing about him, Kingy, is that he is a bit limited in how he plays. Mm. He's not greatly skillful. He's a bash and crash type who, when you're the contested ball, he'll tackle hard. If you ask him to do a roll, he'll do it.
Geelong's going to need one of those.
They will, but you can't have too many of them. No. So if they think that Atkins is the better option,
they'll go with him.
Closey's not going to then go and fill a role of a Tanner Bruin or unless they've got injuries, which they could well do. But so he's very limited in the role that he could play. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Will Connor O'Sullivan be the surprise player in our best 25 this year, or does he need one more year to develop physically given his key position defensive type role so far?
Well, well, that's be interesting to see how he looks on Monday. I'd err on the side that he's not going to play a huge amount. Second year key position player is still, what is he, 19? 20 maybe? Yeah. Somewhere around there. I don't see him being a big part. If he could play, is this Daz asking this?
Yep.
If he could play Daz, I reckon, let's say 8 to 10 games, I reckon that'd be fantastic. If it's 6 games, that's okay. What you'd love to see, though, I reckon, is some real progression in the VFL. You know, him jump up. Did he finish top 10 in the VFL best and fairest?
That's a really good question, Benny. I'll have a look.
So I'd love to see him become more of a force in the VFL and start to, I don't know if dominate's the right word in your second year, but start to become a really impactful player at that level down.
Yeah.
And then that will then translate to senior footy, not this year, but in years to come.
But he's cutting off, you know, everything coming in and all that.
Yeah, he's becoming a player that really forces his way into the senior team rather than...
Finished 8th.
Okay, so that's good. So you'd love to see him jump up and become a top 3 player in the best and fairest in the VFL and force his way into the seniors with the way he plays rather than perhaps get a game because he was a high draft pick and they want to expose him at the next level like they did last year when they gave him the one game. It was only one, wasn't it? And then played North and then dropped him out.
Yeah.
You'd love him his form to be such where they're thinking, geez, we actually, this guy's playing that well. We have... little option but to give him a crack and give him 3 or 4 weeks in the seniors, but that'll be up to him. But I think he's one that Cat fans will be watching closely because, as I said earlier, I think he's a key to Geelong, not this season but going forward.
Cat to the future, you are superheroes. Any rule tweaks or focus areas for umpires you've gotten wind of? Can we expect footy to look the same start of this year as end of last year? I'm not aware of...
No, I haven't heard anything, Kingy.
We haven't been... We usually get a little briefing from... the AFL, and we haven't had it.
No, they just couldn't be bothered with it this year, Kingy. They've sent Razor Ray. Didn't you play golf with Razor Ray?
I did.
Yes. So did you?
He hits a good ball.
Did
as
you
well.
Get? Did you get any briefings from him?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get any briefings.
He's a good.
Look, the umpires will do what the umpires do. They'll focus in on something for 2 weeks, and then that'll go out the window, and then they'll be onto something else by week 4, and then onto something else in week 7, and that'll infuriate fans and there'll be some crap decisions made and that's just the way it goes. But players make mistakes. You just got to wear it. If you're good enough, you'll get through.
Yep. Extra game at Kidinya Park. Have you seen or heard anything to the extent that we're going to play a more defensive style to claw back a few more fortress wins after losing a few last year? So I think the Cats were 6-3 at GMHBA last year.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
I would have thought they'd be ramping up the offensive stuff.
When you bring in Bailey Smith.
Well, you bring in Bailey Smith, you've got... You know, Max Holmes starting to really come on now and what, got 4 years under his belt?
Yep.
You've got Tanner Bruin with 4 years under his belt. You've got, you know, Jai Clark hopefully stepping up with 3 years under his belt. You've got hopefully Mitch Nevitt coming in. You've still got Dangerfield. You know, I'd be looking, and you've got attacking defenders in Cam Guthrie, in Zach Guthrie, Tom Stewart.
Lawson Humphreys.
Yeah, you've Geelong want to ramp up the attack. They've got, and I think, you know, the old attack sometimes is your best defence. Mm. It puts pressure on the opposition.
Yep.
I think if you start playing safe, I mean, how often do we see it in footy when a team is trying to defend a lead in the last 3 minutes and they all filter back? I mean, and the classic example of this was in the third quarter of the prelim final against Brisbane. And I reckon we had, Troy was on, and he said, and he knows Geelong better than any of us in terms of the way they wanted to play, and he was getting infuriated that Geelong were just folding back continually to defend,
yep.
And they were inviting pressure, and in the end they were just getting overrun. Mm. And in the last quarter, I mean, clearly the coaching staff saw that, directed them at three-quarter time. Geelong dominated the last quarter.
Yeah, should have
they had 22-50 inside 50s to 8. Mm. But that folding back and trying to save games, I think when Geelong are at their best, we saw it in 22, and I think footy is going in the direction of you need to be aggressive, but you have to have a skill level to have that aggressiveness, and I think the Cats probably have.
Any movement of the assistant roles we should be aware of?
Not that I know of.
No. They did move back to last year having designated zones after a little period there of it being fairly fluid and the like, but I think it's staying as is. Will Killian Burke need a translator? I haven't heard him speak, but I suspect based on that yes, it's a thick accent.
Have you watched any of the Cats media team stuff they've put out?
A little bit of bits and pieces.
They had a couple of mic'd ups.
Right. Who have they had mic'd up?
Well, it was sort of, here we go. I don't mind. I don't know. You get drawn to it. I'm sort of used to it in the NFL, I suppose, and theirs are a bit different. But they had Ollie Dempsey mic'd up. But he was standing on the boundary line at the family day talking to kids.
Right.
It was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre. And then they did it with another player, and it was nothing to do with, there was no, you didn't get an insight into any direction or anything on the field. It was a complete and utter waste of time.
You're not going to get that.
No, but not. You don't need to. You can still edit it in a fashion where you give something, but you give nothing.
Yeah.
This was one of the, like, Ollie Dempsey was just talking to a kid. It was just an utter waste of time.
Off the X, Andrew Daly, is it too early in the season to risk the removal from the airwaves to ask how Benny's Christmas holidays were?
Well, the Christmas holidays were Christmas night, Kingy.
Mm-hmm.
I got over-refreshed.
Did you over-race?
I didn't.
Were you in the stewards report the following
day?
No,
I wasn't. I was in the stewards report.
Yeah.
I timed it beautifully in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then at night, I really, like, once we turned for home, I really did
were
launch.
You like, were you like the 955 at the Valley, were you?
I was like the 888 at the Valley. They've got the 888 now, not the 955. It's getting shorter and shorter.
Is that with the rail out?
No, well, they just have the 888. That's the big thing now.
I haven't seen the 9. Okay, yeah. I didn't realise the 955 was gone.
No, it's, they still have 955s, but they have the 888.
Right.
Yeah.
What time are they trying to run there, under 50?
880. Yeah, you definitely want to run under 50.
Yeah. Okay. Damien Tedesco. Oh, you went to Lawn?
Mr. Tedesco. I did go to Long Key. Do you know how I met Gavin? I met Gary Keane. Is it Gary? Gary Keane, the former Fitzroy.
And Essendon?
Yeah, well, I didn't even talk about that, but I met Gary. And
Did he play in their final series in 86?
He came to the Cats.
Yeah.
He said Blighty absolutely hated him.
Didn't play a game.
No, he didn't, because he said Blighty hated me. they were his words, I'm not paraphrasing, hated me.
Yeah, right. Damien Tedesco.
Yeah, Mr. Tedesco.
King and Cass, Mr. Tedesco here. Happy New Year to you both. Looking to see Baz Lenker in action. King, yes. What the hell's going on in the ruck department? Is Martin going to play opening round with the issue with Manor? Also, condolences for the Selwood family in Newark K-Rock. Daz Broncos passed on his condolences as well. I reckon De Koning starting in the ruck.
Well, in the match sim that I saw on the highlights, King, he went for 6 minutes, he was playing in the ruck, although then I did see him later on in those highlights down back. So, But I think you're right. I think they're thinking that he is going to be best used for them in the ruck this year because Conway's nowhere to be seen. Stanley, I just don't think he'd be relying on Stanley. They've got really got nothing else. Blitzarves has shown himself not to be. I mean, he can still pinch hit in the ruck if they need him, but I think they're going to try and make De Koning a ruckman. But it'd be really interesting to see how that plays out with the, you know, with the movement in terms of impacting the list going forward.
Arngold. Where's a good place to stay in Melbourne for the grand final? So there's a level of confidence. Ooh, well, wow. If you want an easy walk, either the Pullman across the across Wellington Parade, or I think there's a Mantra on Jollymont as well. Pitching outside leg, McAuley, has there been any sightings of Loch Ness? Is it too late to buy up big in shares of headbands with Bailey Smith, another cat to don them, who has been the pre-season bolter? Oh, preseason bolter. Yeah, Nevitt. Well, I don't think he's really a bolter, Nevitt, but he's the one that everybody's talking
about. He looks bigger. I mean, we'll have to wait till Monday, really. I haven't seen enough to know who's bolting and who's, you know, who's not. But
we'll know more from Monday and then the following Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be able to do a podcast next week, Key, and talk about the game, and we'll have a better idea of who looks the good. You never want to get too seduced by a scratch match, though. That's the thing. But, yeah, you will get a better idea. I just haven't seen enough of the Cats at all, really, to know who's flying and who's not.
David Arthur Scott, how's our ruck stocks looking? Is it all up to Reece? Do we have options?
Well, our ruck stocks, we've got a bloke who's a gun defender in the ruck. We've got a bloke who's 1,000 years old who we've been screaming to get rid of for the last 3 years who's still on the list. And we've got another bloke who's a bit undersized who looks like he's going to play down back rather than play in our ruck. And our ruckman is got injured in bed. There's our ruck stocks. And you, although I did notice, and I only saw a couple of centre bounces in this match sim that was on the YouTube, wherever it was. Mitch Edwards, you suggested. So how old's Mitch Edwards?
Second year, so 19, 20.
Okay, so he looked quite physical. Look, and I'm basing this off seeing two ruck contests, so I'm not, let's not get too excited, but he didn't look out of play size-wise against De Koning, and I thought De Koning looked like he put on weight. So I don't know, be really interested to see how he goes. I assume he'll be playing, will he get a crack on Monday? Maybe not.
No, if they only go with 28, he might get.
So they're not playing twos, they're just having a four-quarter game, and you can play as many players as you like.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And is the game, is it just normal quarters?
Four, I think my might be straight 30s.
Yep. Okay.
And they're going to get to a point where they will stop the game to do
bounties. Well, what we need is some of these, everybody out there to get involved. We'll do plenty of Twitter, be able to just update on who's doing what and get some questions in during the game if you listen. So what time do we go on air?
1:45.
And that's through K-Rock Football Live. So you need to be on the app.
Yep, yes. Correct. And you can watch the vision. Like you say, your KO is showing it.
Yep.
Watch the vision of the match, and if you've got questions, we'll try and answer them.
Yeah.
Marshall, who is on the injury list, please? And do we have time frames of when they'll join full training? Loch Ness, Cam Guthrie. Well, we have touched on a little bit earlier. There's Cam Guthrie, there's Conway, and Sean Manor.
Are they the only three?
Of real note, yes.
Right. What do you mean of real note?
Well, the younger fellas are doing their own individual programs.
Right.
But I haven't heard of any injuries. Daniel O'Brien. Will Benny's quiz make a return for 2025?
I think Daniel might have won it a couple of times, the old quiz. Well, I don't know, Key. It's up to you.
We're working that out. And finally, from your favourite bloke from the northern suburbs.
Nuff.
Nuffy from Corio. Mm. Why is the Damien Burke lookalike always injured?
Conway.
Yeah. If he can't make it through another year, then serious questions need to be asked. Anyway, enough negative nuff and more positive. I haven't seen a better looking bloke that is Bailey Smith than when Tom King had follicles. It's obvious.
Do you know what? You won't believe this, but I saw Damien Burke today.
Did you?
Yes. He was in the pub having a beer and a can of meal.
Good.
At lunchtime, at midday.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I did see him, which is quite ironic that Nuff has produced Damien Burke, who had the sharpest elbows in the game.
1:45 Monday, krockfootball.live.
Looking forward to it, Kingy.
Yeah, so you, me and Jace Doherty, and we'll have plenty of conversations, we'll do plenty of interviews, and there might be some membership news as well for Cat fans who might not have partaken in their membership for 2025.
Yeah, be some more. We'll have some good... some good interviews there and some good stuff, and it'd be good to just to cast the eye over the players for the first time and Because I don't think Hawthorn are going to be any bunnies this year.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.